this is a very serious outbreak, and it has the potential to grow. But we need to balance that in terms of the number of people infected.
There are differences among experts when it comes to the new coronavirus and those quarantined on cruise ships. This is Tuesday, the 18th of February, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, is the spread of the coronavirus less than it was? Maybe, maybe not. A rare species of tree has been saved from Australia's bushfires. And there are problems with what a year ago was a soaring economy in India. All on today's VOA Asia. China has published some new data on more than 44,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, which show that disease is not as deadly as previous coronaviruses, including SARS and MERS. The World Health Organization reports more than 70,000 cases, including 1,772 deaths, mostly from China's Hubei province, where the outbreak first surfaced. Cases in 25 countries outside China have increased slightly to 694, including three deaths, one each in the Philippines, Japan, and France. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
The data appear to show a decline in the number of new cases of coronavirus, but WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says this should be interpreted with great caution because trends can change as new populations are affected. More than 94% of all reported cases in China come from Hubei province. The new cases reported are both clinically and lab-confirmed cases. Tedros says it is too early to tell if the disease is slowing down. Tedros, however, says the Chinese data appear to indicate that most people who become infected with COVID-19 disease will not die.
More than 80% of patients have mild disease and will recover. In about 14% of cases, the virus causes severe disease, including pneumonia and shortness of breath. And about 5% of patients have critical disease, including respiratory failure, septic shock, and multi-organ failure.
Tedros says the fatality rate is at about 2%. Those most at risk are elderly people with underlying health conditions. He notes relatively few children have become infected, a mystery that requires more research. The WHO chief says a team of 12 international experts is on the ground in China and working with Chinese counterparts to get to the bottom of this illness. He says they are trying to better understand the origin of the outbreak and its evolution. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Outside of China, the greatest density of the now-called COVID-19 virus is aboard a cruise ship docked in Japan. And there is some controversy surrounding that. Stay with us because that story is next. This is VOA Asia. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. China has proposed postponing its annual two-sessions meeting in March of the National Legislature and top political advisory body, pending a final decision next Monday, according to state media Xinhua News. In Hong Kong, armed robbers have stolen hundreds of toilet paper rolls from a supermarket delivery driver amid a shortage caused by coronavirus-related panic buying. A suicide blast Monday ripped through a crowd in southwestern Pakistan, killing at least 8 and injuring around 20. And a high-profile local Taliban figure who announced and justified the 2012 attack on teenage Nobel laureate Malala Yousafzai has escaped detention. Read and watch more on VOA Asia, Facebook, and Twitter. VOA Asia continues. The majority of the cases of the new coronavirus found outside of China have been passengers on a cruise ship under quarantine in Yokohama, Japan. The United States said Monday it had evacuated more than 300 of its citizens and their immediate family members who had been aboard the Diamond Princess, sending them to Air Force bases in California and Texas to be held under quarantine for 14 more days. A group of 14 people who did not show symptoms but did test positive for the virus were permitted on the flights in an area isolated from the rest of the passengers. To date, 355 of the 3,700 people on the cruise ship have tested positive for the coronavirus. Australia announced Monday would also be evacuating its citizens from the ship. Canada, Italy, South Korea, and Hong Kong are planning their own evacuation efforts. The spread of the virus on the Diamond Princess has seen the call by some experts to place a ban on cruise ships sailing in Asia for the time being. That idea was quickly struck down by the executive director of the World Health Organization, Dr. Mike Ryan.
We have a group of people saying we should steer clear of cruise ships or steer clear of airports or steer clear of certain ethnic groups and steer clear of other things. We have to be really careful here. There's no zero risk in the world for anything. What Sylvie mentioned is we need an approach to managing risk that allows us to continue to operate as a society while minimizing the risks we know about. And that doesn't matter if we're talking about travel or meetings. It doesn't matter if we're talking about cruise ships. These are manageable risks. And again, we need to reflect on the fact that the vast majority of these cases are within China. When you look at the population attack rates within China, and you look at even within Hubei and Wuhan, we're talking about an overall attack rate of about 4 per 100,000. This is a very serious outbreak, and it has the potential to grow. But we need to balance that in terms of the number of people infected. Outside Hubei, this epidemic is affecting a very tiny proportion of people. So if we're going to disrupt every cruise ship in the world on the off chance that there might be some potential contact with some potential pathogen, then where do we stop? We shut down the buses around the world. And what happens when other countries are affected? Do we take the same measures in that case? So we need to be extremely measured in what we do. And everything we need to do needs to be based on public health. It needs to be based on evidence. It needs to be based on a principle is there's no such thing as a zero risk. And every single person on this planet understands that. It is impossible to reduce risk of anything to a zero.
The U.S. State Department is also looking into the case of a U.S. citizen who was diagnosed with the coronavirus after departing another cruise ship, the Westerdam, whose passengers tested negative for the virus before they disembarked in Cambodia. Malaysian medical authorities say the passenger, an 83-year-old woman, twice tested positive for the virus upon arriving in Malaysia after showing signs of a viral infection. According to a State Department spokesman, she is the first person from the Westerdam to test positive. Her husband tested negative. Happening now in Asia, a British lawmaker who chairs an all-party group on Kashmir has been denied entry to India after she criticized the government's decision to strip the disputed Himalayan region of its constitutional autonomy. Debbie Abrahams, a member of the parliament for the opposition Labour Party, landed in New Delhi's international airport on Monday, but she couldn't clear customs. This is VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us. An ancient and rare species of tree has been saved from Australia's bushfires by a specialist team of firefighters. The grove of Watamai pines, which predate the dinosaurs, was threatened by blazes in the Blue Mountains west of Sydney. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia's Watamai pines survived the dinosaurs and were protected from huge blazes near Sydney by waterbombing aircraft and specialist firefighters who were winched into a narrow gorge by helicopter. The New South Wales Environment Minister is Matt Keane.
It was a military-style operation. We had fire retardant, irrigation systems. We winched staff into the area to make sure that we were doing everything we could to protect the trees. And fortunately, it paid off. These trees can be found nowhere else in the world. In fact, there's only 200 left on the planet. So we needed to do everything we could to protect them and ensure that they were able to survive into the future.
The Wallamai National Park near Sydney is the only place in the world where these giant trees are found in the wild. Before 1994, they were thought to be extinct. Experts believe the pines are an invaluable link to Australia's prehistoric past and have estimated the grove could be up to 200 million years old. Their exact location is a secret because of fears that visitors could bring in pathogens that might cause disease. Some trees were charred by the flames, and about two were destroyed, but but this rare species has survived Australia's bushfire crisis. It is a rare piece of good news. 29 people have died in the disaster. Hundreds of homes have been lost, and it's estimated that more than a billion animals have been killed. Heavy rain has fallen across southeastern Australia, offering some relief for fire crews battling dozens of blazes. But there are concerns the wet weather could cause landslides and flash flooding. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Coming up, a year ago, India had the world's fastest growing major economy. It does no more. This is VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. North Korea, whose leader Kim Jong-un was filmed riding through the snow on a white stallion last year, has spent tens of thousands of dollars on 12 purebred horses from Russia. That according to Russian customs data. Visit VOA Asia Facebook every day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. India's economic growth has plummeted to a decade low, a sharp contrast to only a year ago when it was the world's fastest growing major economy. Anjana Pasricha visited Gurugram, a business district that sprung up on the outskirts of New Delhi and became a symbol of India's rapid development, but it's now showing the symptoms of a slowing economy.
Tens of thousands of migrant laborers flooded Gurugram in the last 15 years as gleaming office buildings, high-rise apartments and shopping malls transformed a sleepy village into a booming business district. For many, the first stop was this city intersection where contractors pick up laborers.
When I first came here, I earned decently and work went very well.
That changed dramatically in the past year as the construction sector stalled.
There is no work. 1,000 of us collect here daily, but only 30 or 40 get picked up. The rest of us slowly go home.
It is a blow for those who depend on daily wage work.
I have to pay $70 for my room rent and buy rations daily. We're helpless. If I don't earn, how will I afford anything?
It is not just low-income workers who are affected. At the height of the economic boom, tens of thousands of middle-class home buyers invested in upcoming housing projects. But a credit crunch faced by developers has stalled many. Investors are losing money. Alpana Majumdar paid nearly $50,000 for an apartment that was to be completed in another district 5 years ago. It is still not ready.
We were thinking that if I get that house, then I can, you know, give it on rent and I'll earn some money from there.
With less money in their pockets, the city's rising middle class is buying fewer goods. Shop owners report declining sales, and automobile manufacturers are facing their slowest demand in 20 years. Dwindling exports have also hit workers as many factories downsize.
There are no vacancies anywhere. Even companies are not hiring.
Economists say the downturn is now full-blown.
There is a decline in the demand from the external sector. There's a decline in the demand from the household sector. There's a decline in the demand from the private sector. So given this kind of slowdown across the segments of the economy, that's why we are seeing a very sharp slowdown in the overall growth.
The government has announced incentives to boost ailing sectors such as construction and exports. But a pickup in growth could be slow.
Some of the measures that have been taken, I think all those things should help economy to recover. But as I said, the recovery need not be very significant.
That means the wait for those standing here may not be over anytime soon. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, Gurugram, India.
From India to Pakistan, a short drive from the Islamabad hotel where top officials are discussing their future. Many Afghan refugees are fearful and uncertain about a peace deal that could soon see them repatriated. Reuters' Lucy Fielder has more. This is VOA Asia. India's top court Monday ordered the federal government to grant permanent commission and command positions to female officers in the army on the par with men, asserting that the government's arguments against the policy were based on gender stereotypes. Currently, female officers can serve for only 10 to 14 years in the army. Make sure you visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. A lot of people are surviving cancer because new treatments are so effective, but there's one thing that stands in the way for many people, and that's having the money to pay for the drugs to fight their cancer. This includes people in the U.S. VOA's Carol Pearson reports that at least one hospital is working to make cancer treatment more affordable.
People pay more for medical care in the U.S. than in any other developed country, and that means surviving cancer can empty people's bank accounts. When Tori Gaib got her cancer diagnosis, she thought she would be okay financially.
I just went on what they said to do. And at the time, I had really great private insurance.
3 weeks later, her great private insurance stopped covering her medication.
I said, well, how much will this be just to get through for the month? And they said, for the 1 month supply, it's $11,000.
Gaib was stunned, but that's about average for new cancer therapy in the U.S. And to make the situation even worse, it was only one of 13 drugs Gaib needed in her first year of treatment. The high cost of cancer drugs puts many patients' financial health in conflict with their physical health. Julie Kennerly Shaw is a pharmacist at the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center. She says she sees patients struggling all the time.
1 in 4 cancer patients actually report engaging in some risky behavior to try to save on costs. So either skipping refills of medications or even splitting doses.
The Ohio State University Cancer Center, where Gaib was being treated, put her in touch with financial counselors to help her get the medication she needed at a reduced price. Kennerly Shaw says the practice has become routine at her hospital, the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center.
We've helped over 30,000 patients gain access to grant funding or manufacturer assistance program with a total value of over $500 million.
The hospital also introduced a new program that keeps these expensive medications from going to waste. Patients can now return pills they don't need.
We put that medication into essentially a repository where we wait for the next patient that has a financial need so that we can redispense that medication to another cancer patient.
Gaib says the program helps patients focus on getting well and keeps them from stressing about their finances.
There's so much stress that goes along with this diagnosis, and you really want to try to minimize that stress along with the cancer. And this is one thing that has been given to me that I'm so thankful and grateful for.
Kennerly Shaw says the goal is to start out small and then to expand the program to cover medications for other diseases. Another goal is to provide a model that other institutions can copy so more patients can afford their treatments. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Women and minorities pursuing computer science degrees often feel alone and isolated since the field is overwhelmingly dominated by men. While about 60% of all 2017 bachelor's degree recipients in the U.S. were women, only about 20% of computer and information science bachelor's degree recipients went to women. That according to the National Center for Women and Information Technology. But an innovative program initiated by a global nonprofit in partnership with universities across the United States has already made impressive gains in helping to boost those numbers. VOA's Julie Tabo has more on that.
Hi, I'm Jack.
Jacqueline Dupre says she's always loved computer science.
And the more computer science classes I took, the more I kind of fell in love with it.
Dupre says she especially enjoys working on projects that can be applied to the real world.
And I'm able to kind of combine that with my love for business and business analytics, saying, how can we use all this data that we've now collected to make strategic business decisions?
Dupre is a senior at the University of Maryland, where she's majoring in computer science, as well as operations management and business analytics. She credits much of her success to a collaboration between her school and AnitaB.org, a global nonprofit that's helping to advance women in technology. Stephanie Rodriguez is Vice President of Policy and Engagement for the organization.
We work with the University of Maryland and 14 other institutions on an annual basis through a project that we called BRAID. It stands for Building, Recruiting, and Inclusion in Diversity. And it really focuses on a few strategies that leaders in undergraduate computer science departments can take to build more inclusive campuses.
The organization's flagship event is the annual Grace Harper Celebration, which is the world's largest gathering of women in technology. Dupre was one of more than 26,000 people who attended the celebration in Florida last year.
Through attending that conference, I think I was able to really recognize this passion in me and to know that there are other people who are fighting the same fight, who are also striving for equality.
Jan Plain is a faculty member in the Computer Science Department and the director of the Maryland Center for Women in Computing at the university.
We were working as a small organization, the Center for Women, trying to improve the culture for the women that are here. And what BRAID did was bring a more national and upper-level administration emphasis to it.
Today, the school has the largest number of undergraduates in its computer science program in the country.
We have increased since 2014, when we had around 300 women in our computer science program, to now 738 who are majoring in computer science.
Plain says in today's job market, diversity is more important than ever.
Financially, for the global economy, we need more people who are technologically educated because there's a lot of jobs, they're very good jobs, and they also influence the design of things that are coming. And if women are not involved, it's not going to represent them.
Dupre agrees.
People don't have free access to it. For example, this could have...
After graduating this summer, she plans to move to New York City, where she will start a full-time software engineering position with Dropbox. Julie Tabo, VOA News, College Park, Maryland.
This is Science in a Minute.
The World Health Organization says by 2050, 10 million people throughout the world could die each year from diseases that are resistant to antibiotics. As microbes continue to develop mutations and render previously effective medications useless, scientists are developing new methods of treatment to fight these so-called superbugs. Researchers from Canada's McMaster University say they have found from their experiments with mice that a new group of antibiotics called glycopeptides can kill bacteria in a new and unique way. They say the new drugs can stop functions that are necessary for bacterial cells to divide and multiply. The researchers found that these new antibiotics can block infections caused by the drug-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, a group of microbes that can cause a number of serious diseases, including pneumonia. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember to get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. A lot of ways you can get this program. Download our podcast. Take VOA Asia with you. Visit our voanews.com program page. See us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. And let's hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook and our email, voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our team, our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. Also, thanks to our listeners at some of our affiliates, Help Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur and CCU Radio at National Chung Cheng University in Taiwan. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day.